I'm Scott Jennings, and I'm the author of The Rain Won't Drain. Let's Lay a Pipe. This is the actual author's narrative and explanation version. So some of the pages in here, which might be a little confusing, I take some time to explain the actual construction methods and what the actual drawings mean. So let's go through page by page and read the story, and maybe I can guess things that might be confusing to you and see if I can explain them a little better, and then you can understand how to lay a pipe. So let's begin. The rain won't drain. Let's lay a pipe. So let's flip the page and go to the dedication. Thanks, Mom, for the support and editing and supporting all of the hours and challenges a son goes through in growing a construction and engineering career. So now we're to the interior title page, and again it says, The rain won't drain. Let's lay a pipe. April showers bring May flowers, but this endless rain, it just won't drain. There's water all over, it's deep in the street, it fills up the fields and covers Ted's feet. So you can see here, it's just rained, but look how all the rain is just standing there. It won't drain out of the playground. You can see in the bottom of the page, there's a car and it's going through a big puddle of rain, so something's wrong. In an ideal situation in your town, if you look out the window, when it's raining really hard, all the water in your street is supposed to go down a drain inlet and then get off of the street so it's safe to drive, and it's dry when you walk down the sidewalk. But here you can see on this page that there's just too much standing water. Something's wrong with the drainage. Next page. But not in downtown where Ted likes to skate. The ground was all dry. It sloped to a grate. So if you look at this drawing, you can see the water's just in the curb line, right up there against the curb itself, and the water's draining to a grate. So the weather's the same downtown where Ted went to skate, but the drainage is correct and there's no standing water in the street, so this is a drainage system which is working. So on the next page where it says, Ted looked in the hole, he saw water flowing, he needed to know, just where was it going? So you can see Ted looking down the drain and he's thinking, wow, the water's going in this drain, what happens? Because the street is dry, all the water's going in this grate. This seems to be drying out the road. Let's flip the page. He gathered some leaves by using the rake. Not long after that, they covered the lake. So what happened here was Ted found some leaves, and then he used the rake to, rake the leaves over into the flowing water, and then the leaves went into the grate. And then he wondered, what's going on here? And then he went just a little bit further down the road, and then he found this lake, and he realized all those leaves that I just raked into that grate, they seem to be now showing up in the lake, because all of the leaves he put in were red and yellow and orange, and then he goes to the lake, and my goodness, there's all these red and yellow and orange leaves coming out of this pipe and going into the lake. So he determined from looking at where the rakes were put into a grate, and then when they showed up again, that these leaves must be draining into the lake. Next page. He figured it out where the water must go. It goes under the ground. That's how it must flow. So this is actually what happens out in your neighborhood. If you look on the left-hand page, there's a grate, and the water goes down into the grate, and it goes underground. And then the pipe, which travels underground, takes the water down the pipe, and eventually it goes somewhere. And here in Ted's story, it actually drains to the lake there in the middle of town. Look on the left-hand side, you can see there's a bone there, and then there's a skull of an animal. Kind of fun. Next page. Ted thought about home. The water was stuck. It couldn't get out. That's good for a duck. So Ted's thinking back now, the water's draining in town, but back where I live, just out of town a little bit, the water's not draining, it's just standing all over. How do I fix that? So the next page, it says, Ted went to his mom and they surveyed the land. From the data they gathered, new drainage was planned. So on this drawing, you can actually see Ted's mom there on the right in the pink dress, and then Ted in his little blue shirt. And what this page is showing is that there's certain tools in construction you can use to look at invisible. You can make sure things are at the right height and make sure things are at the right alignment or things are going in the correct direction. So this is called surveying. So in this particular drawing, Ted's mom is using the survey instrument and she can look through that machine and she can actually see a little line inside that machine which shows whether things are level, whether they're straight. She can tell whether things are, you know, changing in height, you know, along the ground. So that's called a survey instrument. This is called survey equipment. Flip the page. Ted left for the store to buy the supplies. They'd be dropped off at home by tomorrow's sunrise. The next morning was perfect. The rain finished that night. It gave access for Ted to move into the site. So on these two drawings, on the left-hand side, what's happening is Ted took his skateboard. He went down to the local drainage material store and went to see this termite guy in blue, the guy who's actually the superintendent of the actual supply store. And Ted went there and said, hey, I need some drain inlets and I need some pipe. I need to build a drainage system in my town. So he went to see this gentleman in blue and he said, okay, well, I have all these drainage structures here made out of concrete, and you see those in gray. And then to the left of Ted, you'll see those black pipes with those yellow lines. So those are called drain pipes, and he can take those pipes and lay them underground. So the theory here is that if you lay enough drain inlets, which take the water underground into the pipes, you can get the water off of your roads and underground and into the lake. So Ted goes here on the left-hand side page with his purple helmet, and he says, give me some drain inlets and give me some pipe, and I'm going to lay them back at my home. And so on the right page here, if you look, you'll see in comes the material and in comes the equipment that Ted needs to install all of this. So if you look on the right-hand side, you see the blue truck, and then the blue truck is hauling the yellow excavator. And then after the yellow excavator, there's a red truck. So you see the red truck, and the red truck has all the pipe on it. And then after the red truck, you see the purple truck. And the purple truck has what's called precast concrete. These are drain inlets. So these structures that are put into the ground and hold the grates, they're made out of concrete, which is a hard material which hardens and can be buried underground. So these are the things that Ted needs to actually improve the drainage in his town. He needs the yellow excavator to dig the holes. He needs the black pipe to move the water underground. And then he needs these gray concrete things, which are called drain inlets or catch basins. And these will actually gather the water from the surface. On the next page, if you flip the page, you'll see on the left-hand side there, it says, the first step is to dig a trench narrow and straight. Then the shoring's installed. Do not be too late. So these are some big words here, right? So it's pretty easy to understand that an excavator digs a hole, right? And we want to dig holes to lay pipe in or to set an inlet in. But when you dig a hole, imagine if you dig a hole which is deep, and then if you get in the hole, you should be worried that if you get in the hole, the soil, the dirt on the side of the trench might collapse and fall in and hurt you or bury you, and that's not good. So what we have to do when we construct things underground is we have to make sure that the dirt doesn't fall in on us, because it can, and that would not be good. You can get trapped. That's very dangerous. So if you look on the left-hand side, that big red thing on the bottom of the page, this is called shoring. And shoring is an engineering term, and shoring is a term that is used to describe things that hold back dirt and make you safe. So if you look on the left-hand side, this is called a shoring box or a trench shield. And what happens is after you dig the trench with the excavator, you take this trench box in red and you drop it in the hole. And then you can safely get between the two red plates that you see there, and then the soil cannot come in and bury you. On the right-hand side, let's read that. It says, the hole is now stable, but the bottom's a mess. It needs a layer of stone. And look, here comes Tess. So after you dig the trench for the pipe to go in, pipe actually has to lay on a bed of stone. And usually it's like 6 inches, so maybe the length of your foot. So about, you know, as long as your foot is, that's about how deep the rock has to be under the pipe. And this is called pipe bedding, or it's called a pipe cradle. And pipe likes to lay on that. And if you put in this rock, then you can really do a good job of making sure the bottom of the excavation or the hole is nice and flat for the pipe to lay on. So that's why we put in rock or a layer of stone. That's why Tess is here. She's putting in that stone on all the way across the bottom of the hole. Let's read the next page. It says, she sprinkled it in for the pipe layer to grade. Nice and smooth with his shovel, the pipe bedding was made. So here we go on the left-hand side. Tess is there in the loader. That's the yellow loader. And she's sprinkling some rock into the hole so that the pipe layer in the bottom of the hole can actually grade it out nice and smooth. And look how the pipe layer, that's the termite, in the hole with the shovel with the yellow hard hat. Notice how he has a shovel and he's kind of smoothing out the rock as Tess is dumping it in with the loader. And there's Ted on the left, just kind of looking over the operation. But so what they're doing is they're working safely inside the red trench box or the trench shield. And then Tess is sprinkling in the rock. And the next step they're going to do is they're going to start laying pipe. Let's see what happens on the next page. Ted's dad came to inspect the rock laid in by Ted. The problem was seen from the laser in red. So this photo can be very difficult to understand. And to be honest, it was difficult to show in the drawing, so let me try to explain it to you. So you can see Ted's dad, he came over, and he doesn't have a happy face, right? It looks like he's a little bit sad because the laser that he's looking at, it just doesn't look right. It's hard to understand what that laser actually does, so let me explain real quick what a laser is. So I know you know what a laser is. It's a beam of light that goes through the air, and you can see it when... If you have they make something called a pen laser, you can buy them in a store. Your mom or dad might have one. You can shoot a laser across your actual family room and it'll show up on the floor. It'll show up on the wall. Some people use lasers to tease their cat because the cat will move along and try to chase the laser. But in this instance, where a pipe is laid, what normally happens when you lay pipe is when you start laying the first piece of pipe, you set up a laser which will provide the correct line for the pipe layer to lay. So a lot of times pipes go from a concrete structure, a drain inlet or a manhole, to another drain inlet or another manhole. But as you're digging, you don't necessarily know exactly whether the pipe should be going a little more up or a little more down or a little more left or a little more right. It's difficult to actually make a measurement every time you lay the pipe. So when you lay the first structure, whether it's a drain inlet or a drain manhole or whatever it might be, you can put a laser inside the drain manhole or the drain inlet, and you can set the laser at the correct direction, if you will. So the direction you want the pipe to go, you can set the laser to shoot 1,000 feet, and you can shoot it to go at a certain angle and a certain amount left or a certain amount right, but that laser is ultimately the way that the pipe should be laid. So as you lay a piece of pipe or a stick of pipe and then another piece of pipe or another stick of pipe, as you're laying this pipe, this laser will just continue to shoot down the middle of the pipe. And then you'll always know that the pipe needs to be perfectly centered around the actual laser. And so that's what's showing here is in this drawing. Ted's dad comes up and he sees that the laser is actually shooting into the rock, maybe bouncing off the pipe, and it should be much smoother than that. And he's concerned that maybe the pipe isn't laid at the right elevation or the right grade. So the pipe might be laid incorrectly. Let's flip the page and see what's on the next page. So on the next page, it says, the beam is a guide where the pipe's center must lie. If the rock is not right, the pipe may be too high. So you can see the two termites are inside the trench, and they're actually laying the pipe. And you can see on the pipe, we wrote in there, X-ray vision through the pipe. So we're looking through the pipe on this drawing, and we can see, oh, here comes the laser beam. It's coming in from the left, and the laser beam looks to be right down the middle of the pipe. So here, the termites have fixed it. You can see they're giving each other the thumbs up, right? Thumbs up, we got the pipe right. Because the laser beam is at the same height across the bottom of the trench all the way through the piece of pipe. If it wasn't correct, you know, the pipe might be, you know, conflicting with the actual laser beam. But this pipe is laid right because it's nice and parallel and clean, right down the center of the pipe. On the right-hand side, it says, "We're all set now," as Ted looked up to Digger. "Please bring the next stick. Please get help from the rigger." So now what's happening is after you lay a pipe, so on the left-hand side, you see the pipe is laid. And on the right-hand side, you can see that the excavator in yellow is pulling on that red. That's called a strut. So on the left-hand side, there's a trench plate. On the right-hand side, there's a trench plate. And those two trench plates are kept a certain distance away from each other by what are called struts. And sometimes the excavator operator will actually pull on the struts to move the trench box further down the trench. So that's what's happening here is Digger, she's up in the excavator, and you can see she's controlling it. And as she digs more trench towards her, away from me, the reader, she'll just continue to pull that trench box. That way the pipe layer, which is there in the trench, the pipe layer can be safe in between the actual trench shields, and the trench won't come in and collapse dirt around the pipe layer and hurt him. Up there on the left-hand side, standing on the grass, that's called a rigger. So a rigger is a person who rigs a load. So what does that mean? That means that in order to pick things up, you need to make sure that it's tied correctly so that when it gets picked up off the ground, it doesn't fall and hurt someone. And so I think on the next sheet, we're going to see actually what the rigger has done to actually help the excavator, to help Digger, help her pick up the pipe and put it in the hole. So let's flip the page and see what's on the next page. So the next page says, "Lifting the load is done with a sling. It's got to be tight before Digger can swing." So yeah, that's what happened, right? So the rigger tied this blue, it's called a sling. So he attached the blue sling to the black pipe, and now Digger can lift it up and she can safely drop it into the hole. So what's going to happen is the pipe layer down in the trench box is going to direct Digger on where exactly he wants the pipe to be. And using that blue sling on the black pipe, she can put the pipe inside that hole exactly where the pipe layer needs it so that he's safe and that he can actually install this piece against or up into the other piece. So if we look at the next page, it says, "The spigot goes downhill and sits in the bell. With one mighty push, Ted knows he's done well." So when you install pipe, you put one pipe into the other. And pipes are pretty much all designed the same. There's a small end of the pipe, which goes into a bigger end of the other pipe. And that's the difference between a spigot and a bell. So if you look at this, it says spigot, so that's a very small end of the pipe, whereas the bell is a larger end of the pipe. So the spigot goes into the bell. So if you have, say, 400 feet between structures, so you have a drain inlet over here, and then 400 feet down the line, you're going to have another drain inlet. You lay all those pieces of pipe between the first drain inlet and the next drain inlet. And these pipes are usually anywhere. It depends on what the pipe is made out of. So this pipe on this page, it's black, so that's made out of what's called HDPE. It's plastic. It's called high-density polyethylene. And HDPE is basically a plastic, and they usually come in 18, 20, 24 feet pieces. You can also get pipe made out of concrete, reinforced concrete, or ductile iron, or steel, or PVC. These are all different types of pipes used for different reasons. But here, this drain pipe is called HDPE drain pipe. And so what happens is on this photo, you see the pipe layer on the right. That looks like Ted because he's got a blue shirt. So what happens is the pipe was put on the grade, put on the actual ground, on the rock, and then Ted made sure that it went in, that the spigot end of this piece of pipe went into the bell end of the pipe he just laid. And when he pushes on it, you can see him pushing on it on that piece of wood. He pushes on it, and it goes into the bell of the other pipe he just laid, and it makes a sound, or he can feel that, ah, yeah, that really went well. It's into the next pipe. I have a good connection between this pipe and the pipe I just laid a few minutes ago. Flipping the page. A little more rock still must go down. About 12 inches will do to bury the crown. So after you lay the pipe, you have to continue backfilling around the pipe with stone. And you can see here the yellow sign says the crown of the pipe is also known as the top of the pipe. So usually what happens is you have to finish what's called the pipe zone of rock. So a pipe likes to be surrounded by rock just to protect it from anything that might be in the soil. So sometimes you have large rocks in the soil. So look at the right-hand side of the page. See all those large rocks in the side of the actual excavation? Pipes don't like large rocks like that because large rocks, over time, can move and possibly puncture this plastic pipe. So what we like to do is we like to have a nice, safe surrounding stone around the pipe to prevent any big rocks from coming in and puncturing it. So that's what this is. This is called pipe zone rock, and you bury the top of the pipe, the sides of the pipe, and the bottom of the pipe, so it's protected. And again, the crown of the pipe is also known as the top of the pipe. The next drawing says, Ted waves his finger and Digger takes the lead. She pulls on the box, they're laying with speed. So we saw that before where this is how the pipe operation actually goes. You dig the trench, then you put in the bedding, then you lay the pipe, then you bury the pipe with this pipe zone bedding. And then when it's time to lay another pipe, you dig more trench and then you pull this trench box along as you go. So it's one continuous operation. And the pipe layer on this sheet, you see Ted down there in his blue shirt. You see he's inside the red box, because if he steps outside of the red box, that could be very dangerous because the dirt on the side could fall in and hurt him or bury him. Flipping the page. As the operation progresses, it leaves a hole in the ground, and in comes more backfill from the huge nearby mound. So now you can see in this photo that the trench box has been pulled and they're burying the pipe completely. So they already laid the pipe, they already put in the pipe zone rock around the pipe, and now they're just completely burying the pipe. And they go get some dirt, because don't forget, they dug this big trench, right? Well, where did they put all that dirt? Well, they put it in a pile somewhere on the job site. So now what they have to do is they have to go get dirt from that pile, and they have to bury the pipe. And eventually in this drawing, they'll actually replace this with grass. But you can see there in the lower left, there's Ted with a remote control. So a lot of times you can compact soil using a remote control roller or compactor. So right in front of Ted, he's looking at, you see the two, they're called drums. This is called a double drum roller. So this roller here has two drums, and as Ted uses the remote control there in the lower left, he can control whether the machine goes forward or backwards, left or right. So he's controlling the compaction machine with a remote control. On the next page, Ted's showing us exactly how an inlet comes together. So here the page reads, to capture the water that's ponding in town, we must install inlets so termites won't drown. So this is showing you how an actual inlet is constructed. So you can see from the bottom, we laid pipes into this concrete box, and then we put another, it's called a riser. So that smaller rectangular piece gets put on top, and those smaller rectangular pieces, they help get the height of the inlet to match what's up above on the asphalt, you know, where the roadway is. So this is how inlets or drain boxes are built. You have a main base section, which the pipes actually come into and out of, and then you have other riser sections which get the grade just about right so that the steel grate can be put on and it matches what the actual curb line shows. So when you drive down the road, you'll see that there are grates which are, you know, very well aligned with the actual gutter elevation. And so that's what's happening underground, is there's multiple pieces of concrete in order to get the grate to the correct final height so that when you drive over it, you don't fall into a hole. The next page says, from Mom's layout, we know where the curb has to go, so we install that line with a string line or vine. So on the last page, we learned exactly what a drain inlet or a drain manhole is made out of. It has a base section and several other sections. But before you actually put it in the hole, you have to establish the bottom of the excavation to be at the right grade. So what that means is that you have to calculate ahead of time exactly where the top of the rock should go so that when you put in the base section and all these riser sections and then the grate, it has to come out at the right elevation so when you're driving down the road, you don't fall into a hole. So that's what you see here is you'll have someone get in the excavation and they'll actually mark out exactly where the base section should be set. That's what the red lines mean, red lines on the rock mean. And then also you'll see that the pipe layer or the foreman will actually set up a couple stakes in the earth and then he'll tie a string which will go over top of the excavation. And that string means something to the foreman or to the pipe layer. This string might be the top of the curb right above the grate. So that imaginary line was surveyed in by the surveyor, and it means that it's the could be the bottom of the curb where it meets the gutter, could be the top of the curb, which is closest to your car when you drive by, or sometimes it's the back top of curb, and that means that it's the top of the curb, but the back of the curb. And whatever that line is, that's determined by the supervisor in the field, and he knows that when the precast concrete comes out, he knows that that line that's strung there between those two stakes, it can line up with something which is coming off of the truck. And if you look on the right-hand side, you'll see they have the precast inlet and the drain inlet set. And if we read that, it says, "The hole is now dug and the inlet is set. When the backfill is done, the grade will be met." So again, on the right-hand side, you see that we have the inlet set and it's getting backfilled. And the height of the grate has been engineered in order to meet the actual driving surface of your car. So once they finish putting all the dirt back in this hole, it'll be at the correct elevation. Then you can drive over it with your car and you'll hardly notice it because it's not a big hole. All these things get what's called engineered. These get engineered by people who draw all this and make all these calculations and figure all this out on a piece of paper before workers go out there and dig all the holes and buy all the material, things like that. So all this is already pre-engineered so that it's already done on paper before the crews come out and actually build this drain line. Flipping the page, it says, "Ted and Digger and the whole termite crew, they finished the job, but the sky was now blue." So if you look at all the faces on the termites, it's like, oh man, we built this nice drain system, but it's not raining anymore. I wonder if it's even going to work. Because if you look at the playground, it's dry, right? But when we started this story, this whole playground was underwater. So now Ted and the termite crew, they're all wondering, I wonder if all this hard work we've done is even going to work. I hope that next time it rains, the playground won't flood and the roadway won't flood. Hopefully it'll all drain to my drain inlet. So the next page reads, "But one night came the storms. They finished at dawn. When the termites woke up, would the water be gone?" So Ted went to bed that night and he's thinking, oh my goodness, it's raining. It's storming. I wonder if all that hard work I did with my mom and the engineering, I wonder if the water's going to fall into the drain or we're still going to have a whole bunch of standing water and ponding water in my neighborhood. So you can see his face. He's concerned. Oh no, I did all this work. I wonder if it's going to work. I wonder if the streets will be dry. So we flip the page and there's Ted's mom in green and she was the engineer for the job. She did all those calculations to figure out where the drain should be and how deep the holes should be dug and how many pipes were needed and how big the pipe should be. And so they look out, they're out there on their balcony, and they look up in the sky, and it's gray and looks like it's raining or been raining. And so you can read there on the page, it says, "Mom said to her son, Ted, you don't have to fret." And Ted's looking happy. He's thinking maybe things are okay. So we go to the next page, and it says, "As they looked out the window, the streets were not wet." So there they are. Look, they're standing on the roadway, and all the water's there against the curb. So it worked. They built the road, they built the drain inlet, all the water is going into the drain inlet, the playground is dry, and it's stormy weather out, so obviously it's raining now, or it just rained, or it's going to rain again. So this was a success. Mom engineered it correctly. Ted and his dad built it correctly. And the streets are dry. Hi there, kids. Thanks for reading my story. I've built roads and bridges and even been in a quarry. But this time was different. The water ponding was bad. With engineering from Mom, I built a solution with Dad. So if you look on this page on the left-hand side, there's Digger. She's up in the loader just coming down the road. And on the right-hand side, that's called a tripod, and that's survey equipment. So we have what's called a tripod. Tri means three, and tripod means three legs. So you have a three-leg stand, and on top of the yellow three legs, you have what's called a total station. That's survey equipment. And if you look through the actual window, you can actually see things, which through that window can tell you how high things are, whether things are level, whether they're in the right line. So that's maybe something to talk about in another book. But that's how engineers and construction people actually know that pipes are going straight and at the right elevation. And then in the bottom of the page, you'll see that this is a bridge that Ted built, a bridge over a stream. So he was able to build a bridge to span a creek. On the right-hand side, the right-hand page, let's read that one. I hope my tales are fun. I hope you think they're cool. My goal for you is simple. Have fun and learn in school. I like solving problems. It's fun to use my brain. Look what my crew did. We laid pipes and drained the rain. So this shows everything that Ted did in this story. He had an excavator there in the upper right portion of the page, that yellow excavator. He dug holes and he laid pipes. And on the left-hand side, you can see kind of the result of what happened once he laid those pipes. On the left-hand side, you see the drain inlet captured the leaves and the water, and that fell through a structure, and it fell into a drain pipe there on the bottom of the page, and all the leaves and the water were captured, and they just flowed downhill and out into the lake. And you can see in the lower right-hand corner of the page, the pipe comes through what's called a headwall, and it just drains into the lake. And so that was successful. That's exactly what should happen. Then on the last page here, I'll read this to you. It says, Scott Jennings is the author of The Rain Won't Drain, Let's Lay a Pipe. He is a civil engineer and has been on many construction projects laying pipe, drain pipes and water pipes and sewer pipes that are big enough to walk through. Scott lives in Honolulu, Hawaii. So this picture here shows a very large pipe. You can see I can just about probably stand in that pipe. That's a really large pipe. And that one's used for sewer, which is different than drain or storm. So you have different types of pipes, right? You have pipes which carry storm water, which is rain. You have pipes which carry, you know, doo-doo or poo-poo. You know, when you flush the toilet, that water goes in a different type of pipe. And then you have pipes that carry, say, drinking water. So when you take a shower or you drink water, that water comes through a different type of pipe. So we have all different sorts of pipes made out of all sorts of different materials. Ductile iron and steel and concrete and plastic, whole bunch of different pipes, different sizes, different uses. And that's me, of course, on the job site in my yellow vest and my hard hat. On the bottom of the page, Jared Salmond is the illustrator of this book. When he's not drawing, he's with his boys Kai and Elijah, his wife Mackenzie, his three cats Louie, Evie, and Sully, and his dog Moxie. Jared lives in American Fork, Utah. So Jared and I have now done three books together, and he illustrates everything for me, for the book. I explain to him what I want, and I show him I want an excavator here, and let's lay a pipe there, and Jared helps take what's in my mind and then put it on a piece of paper, because I'm not very good at drawing, and Jared is fantastic at drawing. So together, Jared and I work as a team to build these books. Hope you're liking them. And on the last page, on the outside, Ted had a problem in his neighborhood. It kept raining and raining, and there was water everywhere, standing water at the playground and water in the streets. He knew he had to figure a way to dry out his town. With engineering help from his mom and construction help from his dad, Ted was able to drain the rain. And so if you look on the bottom of this, you see on the left-hand side, you see the yellow loader. And in the middle of the page, you see the red truck carrying the pipes. And then over to the right, you see the blue truck carrying the excavator. So these are all the tools and equipment and materials you saw that were used in laying a pipe. I hope you like that explanation, and I hope you enjoyed the story and play it as many times as you want. Have a great day.